Let's take our reading today from James chapter 3. The Epistle of James chapter 3 from verse 2. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. So it's saying that anyone that has the ability to control their tongues, in when it says tongue, it's not really talking about the little, I don't know if I should call it an organ. It's not an organ. I don't know, but you know what I mean. It's really speaking about tongue with reference to utterance, okay, or words, the words that we speak. And it's saying that if you, simply put, it's saying if you can control your words, you can control your life. Okay, if you can control your words, you can control your life. And then it goes on to say, for we can make a large horse to go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Basically, it's saying that you only need one match to light up the whole forest. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. Please take note of this. All right? So the tongue has the capacity to corrupt your entire body. Please take note of that, because Jesus says the same thing, and we're going to look at it very quickly. Okay, it is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. The tongue can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. He didn't say this is normal. He said this is not right. This is not what God designed the tongue to do. Okay, and then it goes on to say, does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Or does a fig tree produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Now, those are strong, powerful words from James. And it's worthy of note, and we should be concerned when we read such words, because we are now in a world where everybody is so interested in being trendy that we don't even weigh the things that we say anymore. All right, all in the name of freedom of speech, I can say whatever I like, and things like that. But we will go deeper soon. In James chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So if you think you are religious or you think you are spiritual, the check for that is how you speak. Jesus, speaking in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 11, said, "Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." You remember what James said, that the tongue can mess up the entire body. And here Jesus is saying that what comes out through the mouth, all right, defiles a man. And in the same Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, Jesus goes on to say, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." So the things we say can mess up our entire bodies. You know, let's go back to James and let's see the way James puts it. He said, it says in verse 6, James chapter 3 and verse 6, "And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting the entire body." Okay? Corrupting the entire body. "It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself." Jesus said the same thing, just in different words, in Matthew 15, 18. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." You know, and Mike asked the question at the end of the session last week, and he said, you know, how do we condition ourselves to, you know, ensure that we speak the right things? And, you know, Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So we need to make sure that we control what goes into our hearts, because until we have a hold on what goes into our hearts, we will never be able to filter the things that come out of our mouths. Now, remember, we're talking about, you know, three important laws, and we started with the law of confession. And so we are still on the law of confession. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. It says, "By faith we understand that the universe, the entire universe, was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that we can see." In other words, words are not visible. So what we now see, the entire universe that we now see. Now, the universe keeps expanding, and it's so huge that the extent of the universe that man knows about is limited to the range of telescopes that man can design. So every time man designs an advanced telescope, they see something new. The universe, they say the universe keeps expanding, but it's just that man is just discovering a lot of these things. It is possible that the universe keeps expanding, but man has not even seen a fraction of what is out there. And the Bible is saying that by faith we know that the universe was formed by the words of God, by his command and utterance. Okay. And remember, we saw last week, God created man in his image and his likeness. God created man to operate the same way that he operates. And so if God created his universe by his words, he also gave us the ability to create our world by our words. And unfortunately, we have been doing more of destroying than creating. Psalm 34 and verse 12 to 13 says, "Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." God created the universe with his words. Okay? "Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good?" What does it say? "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." And then it tells us God created the universe with words. Our words are forces of creation. Whether you realize it or not, every time we speak words, we are creating something. Every time, you know, God formed the universe and he programmed it. Remember, the entire universe is programmed. like I always tell people, God is no longer creating things, as it were, in our world, okay? He has programmed it in a way that the system can reproduce itself. So you and I were not created by God. God created a system called biology, reproduction. And that's why we look at, you know, we look like our parents, right? Okay, so God programmed the universe with his words. And the same way, every single day of our lives, the words that we speak, we are programming something. We are programming our world. We are programming our lives. We are programming our bodies onto life or onto death. Now, simply because you can't see it, or because you can't feel it, doesn't mean something is not happening. Now, remember the story of the fig tree. One account said that immediately the fig tree dried. Another account said it was the next day that the fig tree dried. Now, it's not a contradiction. One of the accounts was addressing the story from a spiritual perspective, because although they couldn't see it, the moment Jesus said, No man will eat fruit of you ever again, that was when it began to happen. However, they only saw the manifestation of it the next day. But the truth is, that fig tree did not dry up when they saw that it had dried up. It dried up the moment Jesus said, nobody will ever eat fruit of you again. So, when we are speaking words, we need to be mindful of the fact that although the manifestation might take a while, the moment we begin to speak those words, we are setting laws in motion. We are programming something. Okay, we are programming something. Now think about this. Jacob and Esau went through a whole lot of trouble. Not for gold, not for silver, not for inheritance. No. They didn't. I mean, think about it. As far as inheritance was concerned, Jacob did not inherit anything from Isaac, because he left home. He ran away. He was too afraid of his brother. He ran away and was at the house of Laban for 20 years. Right? At the house of Laban for 20 years. It was on their way back that they heard that their father had died, or somewhere along the line, but he never saw his father again. He heard that his father had died, and then he and his brother came back to bury their father. But the thing is, as far as inheritance was concerned, Jacob started from the scratch. All right? Every cattle he had, he earned it through hard work. Okay? So, The problem was not inheritance. It wasn't. But Jacob and Esau went through a lot of trouble, to the point that Esau wanted to kill Jacob. Why? Because of some words. Words. Just words. Like, think about it. It's not like, you know, it's not like there was a supernatural transfer of power or something, you know, or it's not like some infinity stones like Thanos, you know, something like that, something tangible that you can see and you understand how, you know, how it works and wield the power. No, nothing like that. Just words. Why? Because they understood that words are programming. And that's why those of us that are parents and those of us that will be parents, we need to be mindful of the kind of words that we expose our children to. Big head, Olodo, he's dummy, stupid boy. And then 10 years later, you are going to Shiloh and submitting prayer points that God should help your child. But you programmed that child for years onto destruction. You will never amount to anything. Oh, you're useless. You hopeless idiot. You know, African parents, we've mastered the art of insulting. You know, some people insult and they drink water like they just had a meal. You know, they are fluent in insult. And then the child begins to look like everything that they've been saying. You see, it's very important that even when we are confronted with a negative situation, we don't reinforce it by repeating what the enemy is putting in front of us. Now, remember, confession means saying the same thing. Every time we make an utterance, we are either saying the same thing as God has said about us, or we are saying the same thing as the enemy has said about us. It's either our words are good reports. Remember the story in the book of Numbers. It says that some people brought an evil report. It didn't just say they brought a negative report. It says they brought an evil report. So a negative confession is an evil report. If it is evil, it is of the devil. So every time, just keep this at the back of your mind, that every time we make utterances, we are either aligning ourselves with what God is saying about us, or we are aligning ourselves with what the enemy is saying about us. Okay, that is why it is called confession, homologio, saying the same thing. You are saying the same thing. You are either saying what God is saying about you, or you are saying what the enemy is saying about you. So if one is confronted with a negative situation, what do? We don't reinforce that situation by repeating those words. We say what God says about us. So it's like the Bible speaking in Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, calling those things that be not as though they were. Okay, so it's not calling the things that are as though they are not. Okay, so faith is not denial. So for instance, you're having a headache, and then the doctor says, what's the matter with you? You say, oh, I don't have a headache. You know, that is not faith. It's just being, I don't know what to call it. It's not faith. Faith is not denial. If you don't have money in your bank account, you don't have money in your bank account. Okay? Telling somebody that I don't have any money in my bank account, it's not a lack of faith. Okay? Faith is not denying the circumstances. However, faith is calling those things that be not as though they were. So, although I acknowledge that I don't have any money in my bank account, I know that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. So, faith is calling the things that be not as though they were. So there are times that the enemy surrounds us with negative situations, and then we are forced to reinforce those situations, but we must learn to resist the temptation and say what God is saying about us. So when God saw darkness in Genesis chapter 1, he didn't say, oh boy, it's so dark in here, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about this darkness? No. He saw darkness. The Bible acknowledged that there was darkness. It said that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay? The Bible acknowledged that there was darkness and there was a void. But then God did not dwell on the darkness and say, hey guys, this is so dark. Oh, this is darkness. What are we going to do about this darkness? Oh, darkness, darkness, darkness. No, he didn't go rehearsing and reinforcing it. He said, light be. And that is the attitude that we must have when we are surrounded by a negative situation. Jacob and Esau understood the value of words, and they were willing to go to extreme lengths to get, you know, just to get a few words. Just a few words. Those words were not much. They were just a few words. But they understood the implication of the words, and they were willing to do anything to position themselves. Every human transaction happens with words. Even the ones that involve money. You seal the deal first with words. Words are important. With words, we get into contracts. With words, we get into agreement. With words, we get into programming. For those of us that are computer people, you know that programming are a combination of words and numbers and alphabets and things like that. You're writing codes and all of that. But at the end of the day, the words we speak, we are programming ourselves either onto death or onto life. We're programming our world. We're programming our circumstances. We're programming our children either onto death or onto life. You see, but the problem is a lot of times we are unpractical. We think, oh, because I said I am rich, you know, money should start appearing in my account immediately. And, you know, like I said last week, nobody ever got sugar diabetes from the first time they took sugar, right? Nobody got fat from the first time they ate a burger. It takes a build-up. It takes a build-up. It takes some level of consistency. Okay? It takes some level of consistency. But, you know, so every time you took sugar, every time you took milk, every time you took whatever you ate, you were programming your body in a particular direction. Okay? You're programming your body in a particular direction. Now I am trying to lose belly fat. Why am I trying to lose belly fat? Why do I have belly fat to contend with? It's because I programmed my body in that direction. Not in one day, through almost 10 years of a very bad eating habit. Okay? I can, most times I don't sleep until 3-4 a.m. sometimes even later, and then I am up doing whatever it is that I am doing. At 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. I am feeling hungry and I go and grab something to eat, and then a couple of hours later I am in bed, right? So it's not like I eat a lot. And some people see me and think, do you drink? No, I don't drink. Okay, but I have programmed my body onto onto pot belly reason. And now I am trying so hard, not hard enough, obviously, but I'm in my head, I'm trying, but physically I'm not doing enough. But the point is, I want, you know, I'm trying to change the situation. I'm obviously not committed to it enough yet, but I'm trying to change the situation. I don't like it. But the truth is, I have programmed my body. Right now, I find it impossible to sleep at 10 p.m. unless I've had a really long day, okay? And then I get back really tired and then I can sleep. But normally, 2, 3, 4 a.m., that is when I go to bed. That is when I can go to bed because I have programmed my body. It didn't start one day. And it's the same thing. The words we speak over our bodies, the words we speak, you know. Sorry, let me read a few things here. Temitayo is saying, I saw a meme how that if I said I'm going to die, people be like, there's power in the tongue. But when I say I want to buy Bentley, suddenly you don't buy Bentley by mouth. It now seems the tongue is being selective. So my question is, each time we say negative things, there's tendencies it manifests without even working towards it. It's as if nature at work, but when we say nice things, we have to put in the work for its manifestation. That is a very good question. Okay. So simply put, Temitayo is asking that why is it that our negative confessions seem to have more potency than our positive confessions? The answer is process. We all know that it's easier to destroy than it is to build. The World Trade Center was built in several years. It was destroyed in one day. Okay, so we are looking at negative forces against positive forces. It's just natural that it takes a longer time to build. And God is a God of processes. Okay, so simply saying I want a Bentley overnight doesn't mean you're going to get one. You may have programmed you may have created a system in the spirit wherein you can get a Bentley, but God is not going to hand things over to you simply because you want them. Because God is a God of process. God is going to check, can I trust you? God is going to check, are your motives right? God is going to check, are you doing this for your ego? Or, you know, so there are so many things that God checks before he releases things to us, especially when it has to do with material things, right? Especially when it has to do with material things. God is not going to give you a jet right now simply because you say, I want a jet, or, oh, I have a jet. It says not Citation 10 in Jesus' name. It says not Citation 10 in Jesus' name. It could be that you have confessed enough, okay, to have that jet in your spiritual bank account, but it's not going to manifest physically until you have developed the capacity to receive it. And that capacity to receive it has a lot to do with character. It has a lot to do with motive. Okay, so that's why you see when it comes to positive things, simply because you confessed positive things, especially when it has to do with material things or things that have to do with status and stuff like that. God, there are so many things God checks. Okay, God checks. He checks the heart. He checks motives. He checks if he can trust you with that level of responsibility. He checks if he can trust you with that level of resources. The devil, on the other hand, no. As long as he gets the opportunity to steal, to kill, and to destroy, that's all he needs. Okay? That's all he needs. So if you're speaking those words, the devil simply checks, does this enable me to steal from this person? Does this enable me to kill this person? Does this enable me to destroy this person? If the answer is yes, then he moves very quickly. Because you know his time is short, right? The devil knows his time is short, all right? God is not in a hurry. God has all of eternity to bless us and to be good to us. So he's not in a hurry. So he takes his time. He checks the processes. He checks that you tick certain boxes. And then, okay, yeah, you are qualified to get this. Now, the devil, on the other hand, he moves a lot faster because he knows that his time is short. Okay? So God programmed the universe with words. All the systems we have, reproductive system, excretory system, everything, all the systems that are holding the universe together, all right? God programmed them with words. The same way the devil programs with words. Have you noticed that witches, wizards, native doctors and all of that stuff, they don't just do charm. No, they speak words. Some of the words you understand, some you don't, but they speak words. It's the same way humans also have the capacity to program with words. So God programs with words, the devil programs with words. And let me share this with us. When the devil threatens you, right? When he threatens you, like, oh, he's showing you really bad dreams, you're seeing yourself in a casket, or, you know, or a witch or a native doctor says, I'm going to kill you. The devil is just, you know, the way the devil threatens people, I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to do this. What he's doing at that point is he's programming you with those words, with those dreams, with those pictures, with those images. He's trying to program you to align with fear, because fear, just like faith, authorizes God to act on our behalf. Fear authorizes the devil to act on somebody's life. And so he tries to program us by giving us those images and saying those words. See, I'm going to kill you. You know, I'm going to kill you. And things. The truth is this. Anybody that can kill you will do it. Right? Right? Is it because the devil loves you? If he wanted to kill you, if he could kill you, he would have done it already. But if he's saying, I am going to kill you, it's proof that at that point, he can't kill you. Because if he could, he would have done it. Okay? So the fact that he's telling you, why is he warning you? Is it because he loves you and he's giving you heads up? No, no. At that point, he can't kill you. What he's doing is he's trying to program you with words unto death. So you come to a point where you succumb to fear and you have programmed yourself onto death, and then he can actually hurt you. So a lot of times when the enemy threatens, it is because he is trying to program people onto death. And so we need to be very careful. Even when people speak to us, we need to be careful and not allow people to say certain things over our lives. You know, there's something Bishop T.D. Jakes said several years ago. He said, shut up. It's not polite, but it's effective. Sometimes we actually need to tell people to shut up. I've learned to do it, and it's not pleasant sometimes. So if you are saying negative words over me, I'm going to ask you to stop it. I will frown at you and I will tell you to stop it. It doesn't matter who you are. I will ask you to stop it. And if you're not going to stop it, I'm going to walk away. It doesn't matter who you are. Is it rude? I'd rather be rude to you than rude to my destiny. So we must not let people say negative words about us. And if your name is a negative confession, you may have to find another name. Because names are confessions. Every time they call you that name, it is a confession. So our words activate life or death. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 20, let's read it. It says, let me read from the New King James Translation. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips shall he be filled. And then verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Okay, so every word we speak is programming us either unto life or unto death. There are no trivial words. Remember last week we saw what idle words are. And Jesus said that every idle word that men speak, they will give account of on the day of judgment. Okay, and idle words, for those of us that were not here, we saw that idle words are unproductive words. Okay, in Isaiah chapter 55, from verse 8 to 11, the Bible says that, shall my word be that proceeds out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that for which I sent it, and it shall prosper in it. And because we are created in the image and the likeness of God, God expects our words to also be that potent, because he has put power in our mouths. For where the word of a king is, there is power. Okay, God has put power in our mouths, and he does not expect us to make pronouncements that do not accomplish anything. So any word we speak that does not accomplish anything, that is an idle word, and God is going to make us give account, because he puts so much. Let me put it this way. It's like someone given lots of resources, right? Like a president or a governor, and after your tenure you are being probed. How did you spend the money? Did you use it for good, or did you just use it on parties, and did you loot in, you know, for personal, you know, in a civilized society, people are asked to give account for how they used resources. And it's the same way God has given us resources. He has given us power in our words, and we are going to give account for how we use those words. Did you use them productively? Did you use them to create, or did you use them to destroy? Did you use them to, you know, program people into life, or did you use them to program people onto death? We are going to give account. So this whole reckless communication that we do, all in the name of being woke and being trendy and saying all sorts of things, madu, I like you, die, you know, things like that. We're just talking, and we are programming towards death. That's what we're doing. We are created in the image and likeness of God, and God does not expect us to waste our words, because there is power in our words. So simply because if you say, I want a Bentley, it doesn't appear immediately, it doesn't mean that you have not set certain laws in motion in the realm of the spirit. Jerry Savile, one time a family invited him to dinner, and you know, while they were eating, they gave him an envelope, and in the envelope was documents and all the papers for a jet. And he collected the envelope and he said, thank you. And he kept eating his food. And the couple were a bit astonished because they were expecting him to be jumping and running all over the place. He said that, well, actually, he's been speaking this jet forth over the last 2 years. And so he is not surprised that it came down, because, you know, in his spirit, he already had it because he had been speaking it forth. Okay, now, am I saying that you are always going to get everything? You know, the Bible says that in the book of James that we ask and receive. We have not because we ask not. We ask and we do not receive because we ask amiss, so that we will consume it upon our lust, so that we'll consume it upon our vanity. So the thing is, simply because you ask or because you want something doesn't mean that God is going to give it to you if your desire is to satisfy your lust and your vanity. So you can confess from now until kingdom come. If it is not something that complements your purpose or your assignment, God is not going to give it to you because you're asking amiss. Okay, so it's important that we just have that sorted, so we don't say, oh, I confessed about this and I didn't get it. There's a saying that sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But that is not true. Words will hurt you. And as a matter of fact, there are so many people today that are hurting from the effect of words. Some of them are aware of it. Some of them are not even aware of it. Okay. Because of time, we can't read all the scriptures. But if you are taking notes, you can write Proverbs chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 2. But I'll read Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. It says, there is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Okay? There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 11 says, a serpent may bite when it is not charmed. The babbler is no different. Compares the tongue of a babbler to a serpent. Romans chapter 3 and verses 13 to 14 says, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. While we must frown against physical abuse, verbal abuse is something that we have come to accept, which we shouldn't. You know, a few days ago, while I was meditating on this teaching, the Spirit of God said something to me. He said, an injured body heals faster than an injured soul. An injured body heals a lot faster than an injured soul. And then he went on to say to me that an injured body ends with one life, but an injured soul transcends generations. A lot of broken and damaged people that we see today that are breaking and damaging other people are a product of an injured soul. Remember the scripture we read, that there are some people's words that are like a sword. Okay, so if you're somebody like that, you need to be mindful of the fact that you are programming people onto destruction by the words that you speak. And if you are a victim of something like that, you need to remove yourself from that kind of environment. Because think about this. I know some of us are parents here, but think about it. You gave birth to your child, right? Even when you didn't know anything, and you named that child, even when he or she didn't know anything, right? Did you ever figure out at what point the child realized, oh, yeah, this is my name? No. You kept calling that child that name. You kept calling the child that name, even when the child did not understand a thing. And when the child came to a certain consciousness, he or she just embraced the name. Even you could not tell when the child realized, this is my name. Even the child cannot. I don't know when I realized my name was Chubby. They just called me my name consistently enough, and I grew into it. Think about it for a moment, all right? What you programmed that child, even when he or she wasn't conscious, and when the child grew into consciousness, the child grew into the consciousness of what you have been calling him or her. That is how powerful words are. So you keep speaking these words over a person. The person may not even be conscious of it, but it just gets to a point and they accept it as their identity. Words can alter the nature of a person. Now, you know, humans are... There's a natural instinct of humans for self-preservation, right? So that's why if we hear a gunshot, everybody talks, because self-preservation, it's not fear, it's a natural instinct, okay? Some people's own is fear, but you know what I mean. There's a natural tendency for every human to run away from danger towards self-preservation. Now, words have led people to commit suicide. Suicide is unnatural because humans want to live. People don't want to die. The nature of man is towards self-preservation. When a man no longer wants to preserve his life and just wants it to end, you know that the nature of that man has been altered. And words, there are so many people that went and jumped in front of a moving train after a conversation. That is how powerful words are. And it's important we realize this so that we can use words the way that God designed words. So quickly, how do we condition ourselves to not speak death? Just like we said at the end of the teaching last week, Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew chapter 12 from verse 34. And so it is important that what is in our heart is right. Okay, what is in our heart is right. And that begins with the word of God. Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 to 2 said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The Bible says that the word of God is able to build us up. It says that the word of God is able to save our souls, okay? So we need to... faith-filled words, faith-filled environments. And this is why going to church is important. This is why fellowshipping with other believers is important. This is why just being around a faith-charged atmosphere, you know, listening to worship... these things are important. You can never... don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone deceive you. You need it. Okay, it is important that we fellowship with other believers, that we listen to faith-filled words, that we keep ourselves surrounded with people. And just the same way, when we keep listening to these things, we keep listening to positivity, we keep listening to how good God is, we keep listening to the Word of God, okay? It gets inside us and it settles in our spirit to a point that when we speak, we don't have a choice, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh, yes. And this is important. Mr. Mike is saying, now I see how affirmative thinking drives action. Repetition equals reinforcement. And that is absolutely true. Mike Murdock said, what determines what people believe is not truth, it's repetition. If you repeat something to people long enough, a point will come that unconsciously they begin to gravitate towards it. And that's why we need to be careful. Disney right now is trying to program children to believe that this whole gender thing and this whole homosexuality thing. And so please, parents, there are wonderful Christian cartoons that your children can watch. They must not watch Disney, okay? Because they have an agenda. They have an agenda. They know what they are doing. They are trying to program the children from an age where they don't even know what is happening, because just like you said, repetition equals reinforcement. We need to be careful. It's possible you are not even conscious of the words, but we need to be careful the things that we expose ourselves, even as adults. Don't think that we are immune to it as adults, you see. And that's why I think, pornography is very deceptive, because they say 18 plus. Okay, it can damage your mind as an adult as much as it damages the mind of a child. Simply because you're an adult does not mean you are immune to the damage that it will cause. It doesn't mean that you're immune to it. You know, so even as adults, we need to be mindful of the kind of information that we expose ourselves to, because Satan has since understood this strategy. We in the church, you know, we just know it in our heads, but we don't practice it. We don't believe in it enough to live our lives in accordance with it. But we're all programmers, all right? We're all programmers, and you can program your child. Bishop Abiyo said when he gave birth to his first child, they said that the child was retarded and he had brain damage. And Bishop Abiyo said, give me my son, he does not have brain damage. And he kept speaking over that child. And he's a very successful engineer today. The same guy that they said had brain damage. All right? So program your life. Program your environment. Program your children. With our words, we can really create the kind of world that we want around us just by saying the right things and saying what God says about us and what God says about the same situation. It's just like the body, okay, you may be feeling some symptoms, but just keep saying it. Keep speaking the word of God. I am the healed of the Lord. You know, and we need to be patient, because it's not going to happen or manifest immediately. It might take weeks, it might take months, it might even take years. But keep saying it. Keep saying it, and it will manifest. Just like Timothy asked earlier, negative things seem to happen a lot faster. And that is because that is Satan's territory, okay? He plays by his own rules, all right? But we need to be patient, and we need to just keep saying those things. Just keep confessing and keep confessing and keep confessing and keep programming ourselves and program our environment and program, you know, program our jobs and program our cars and, you know, program everything. Don't go and speak evil about your car simply because you're trying to sound humble. Say, come and enter my small peru car. Yes, so it's the small one that we are managing. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. Okay? So please, let's be conscious and let's be mindful of the words that we speak. And All of us here, I believe, are Nigerians. Let me see, is there any non-Nigerian here today? Everybody here today is Nigerian, okay? Even though like half of us here are in diaspora, but I know there's every temptation to say really negative things about Nigeria. Oh, that God, Nigeria is a messed up country. Nigeria is this. Nigeria. We need to be careful, people. We need to be careful. Because the more we say Nigeria is a messed up country, the more we say Nigeria is this, Nigeria is that, the more we are programming the country onto destruction. I know we are all Nigerians. We know what's happening with our country. And we know it's difficult right now to say positive things, you know, but we are priests and we are prophets and we are kings, and God has put power in our mouths, and we need to be mindful. We need to keep saying those positive things. What I said earlier, it's not denying what is, but it's speaking forth what we want to see, calling those things that be not as though they were. We need to keep saying those things. And now when we say them, we're not just saying them because, oh, okay, I don't just want to say negative things. No, let's say them with the consciousness that we know our words carry power, and it builds up, it adds up, okay? It adds up, it adds up. I mean, if God were to tell each and every one of us how many breaths we've taken to be the age that we are, we will be shocked, all right? But we keep breathing and it adds up, okay? You don't just take one breath and then wait for you to grow up. You need to keep breathing. You need to keep eating. You need to keep drinking. You need to keep doing everything to grow up, okay? So it adds up. It adds up. And we need to keep saying those things. It's difficult, but we need to keep saying it, knowing and being conscious of the fact that God has given us authority to create with our words. You know, in Singapore, it is a crime to say something negative about the country. I think somehow they just figured it out that, you know, negative confessions can harm a country. In Singapore, it is a crime. You will be arrested and jailed if you say something negative about the country.